Welcome to the home of the conservative revolution. This is your weekly dose of common sense with Corey Bernardi.
Hello, everyone. It's Corey Bernardi here, and welcome to another weekly dose of common sense podcast. I'm so heartened by the fact that so many people are tuning into this podcast every single week. Our numbers are growing, and it just proves that it's not only the written word that people are hungering for, they want to hear some common sense as well. They want all of us to be talking about the things that matter and belling the cat on the inane and the stupid that is going on in our society. It's almost as if they're just handing us material to talk about every single week because there's so much dumbing down of society. The lack of common sense is extraordinary. It's astounding. It's going on in our education system. We're seeing it in our workplaces. And today I'm going to talk about it in the consumer retail space as well, because some good friends of mine on the weekend came to me and told me about what happened to them, and I'm just gobsmacked by it. This podcast, by the way, has been recorded in Port Lincoln. I wish I could say it was sunny Port Lincoln, but it's not. It's blowing a gale, it's raining, it's cold, but I'm in my hotel room recording this podcast because I'm here for some business for the next couple of weeks. And later in the episode, I'm also going to have a conversation with a lady named Joanna Lindgren. Joanna Lindgren was a former LNP senator. I served with her in the Senate for a couple of years. She's an Aboriginal woman. She's a wonderful person, and she's joined the Australian Conservatives, and she's running on our Senate ticket in Queensland. And when I caught up with her in Canberra recently, I recorded a brief interview that'll give you an insight into this very special person. We're also going to have the ever-popular Your Say, and I will say again, if you want to send us a voice message, you can simply record it on your iPhone or your Android device, record a voice memo, send it through to Corey at CoreyBernardi.com, and we'll get it to air if we can. I'm also going to talk about politics, because everyone seems to be an expert on politics, and they are an expert in casting their own vote. We know that. But a lot of people don't understand how preferences work. A lot of people don't understand about why political parties make particular decisions. And I'm going to talk you through that from the Australian Conservatives' position. I hope you'll enjoy it. Thanks for tuning in. Stick with us, because this is your weekly dose of common sense.
This is your weekly dose of common sense with Corey Bernardi.
Now, listeners, I know some of you are going to be horrified by the fact that I like combat sports. I like boxing. I like UFC. And for those people who enjoy this contest between men or women, it was a cracker of a weekend. We had a world championship fight with a boxing match where an Australian was defeated, Jeff Horn. But we also had three Australians competing in the UFC, including an Australian defending his title, Robbie Whittaker, whom won what was, I think, the fight of the year thus far. But what was notable about the pay-per-view event that I paid $60 for was the fact that a fighter went in there with a tattoo across his chest that said Black Power. And it went totally unremarked by anyone. The Twitterati remained silent. The commentators remained silent. No one thought it was worthy of comment. Except me. I put it out on Twitter. I said, well, UFC, would it be acceptable if someone had White Power tattooed on their chest and they went in to fight? Now, of course, I didn't get a response. I got, except from the Black Panther movement in the US, who are, of course, a racist political movement, who said, yes, it's because of white genocide and so forth. Absolute nonsense. What we're stuck with there is the hypocrisy of the identity politics that is at play around the world. The hypocrisy where, you know, if you speak up for the equality of the races, that you say there is no difference between black men and white men, you are suddenly an alien, because it's okay to say that Black Lives Matter, but it's not okay to say White Lives Matter. It's okay to say Black Power, which has racial superiority connotations about it. It has the whole concept of race baiting about it, and yet you're allowed to have that tattoo and allow it to go unremarked. Imagine, just imagine, if a fighter entered the ring or in any public contest with White Power tattooed on their chest. The very same people who are silent now would be apoplectic. And that proves what a giant bunch of hypocrites they truly are.
Like what you hear? Support the Australian Conservatives at conservatives.org.au.
This is your weekly dose of Common Sense podcast. Thanks for sticking with us. And speaking of hypocrites, what about those clowns that were at the Tony Awards? You know, that's that American celebrity event where they get all these do-gooders up there to cheer on how exciting and fantastic they are. Well, you had this bloke who's a great actor, Robert De Niro. Now, I'm sure you know who he is, but he gets up there to present an award, and the only thing he says, or pretty much the only thing he says, is F Trump. Now, I'm not saying he said fondue Trump. You know exactly what I'm saying. It's no longer down with Trump, apparently, he said. It's F Trump. Now, he got a standing ovation for that. A standing ovation from the hypocrites who put up with the personal sexual picadillos, the abuse that comes from the hierarchy in Hollywood, where they morally lecture all the rest of us about doing our best and saving the planet and everything else, and yet we know they are the most conceited, compromised group of people you're ever likely to meet. And if that wasn't enough, Robert De Niro has gone out there and he said, when he was introducing Bruce Springsteen's performance, as it's reported, he said, "Even more important in these perilous times, you rock the vote, Bruce. Always fighting for, in your own words, truth, transparency, integrity in government. Boy, do we need that now." Well, where were you, Robert De Niro, when you needed it during the Obama administration? Truth, transparency, integrity in government? You must have been asleep. Or what about the Clinton administration? Truth, transparency, integrity in government? Ask Monica Lewinsky about that. And Robert De Niro, you were supporting Hillary Clinton, the Democrat nominee against Donald Trump, and she's got no history of truth, transparency, or integrity in government or out of it. It just, again, goes to show those who are preaching the loudest perhaps are most ashamed by their own particular views. And if Hollywood is any indication, it just proves how morally bankrupt the entertainment industry actually is.
If you want common sense restored to Australian politics, chip in at conservatives.org.au.
Welcome back. This is your weekly dose of common sense, and I'm joined today by Joanna Lindgren, who is a long-term friend of mine. She's a former LNP senator, and she was a great loss to the Senate, but now she's seen the light, and she's joined the Australian Conservatives, and she's a candidate for us in Queensland. Welcome to the Weekly Dose of Common Sense podcast, Jo.
Thanks, Corey, and thanks for inviting me along.
You're most welcome. It's great to have you on board, and it's good to see you again after, I don't know, what's it been, a couple of years since you were in the Senate?
Oh, yeah, at least, yeah. I think August I lost my position, so, yeah.
Well, that sort of coincided when the LNP lost the plot, if I can put it like that, because politics has got worse in the time since you've been here. You know, they're making decisions that are really impacting people, and in a negative light. Our budget position is worse, the family position is worse, our confidence in the body politic is worse. And is that what you're sensing on the ground in Queensland?
Oh, absolutely. I think Queenslanders are quite frustrated on a number of fronts. At the end of the day, people are hurting. Their hip pockets are hurting. Their electricity prices are going through the roof. They're struggling to make ends meet. I know they say that there's a million jobs have been created over the last few years, but you ask Queenslanders, they're struggling to find work.
Yeah, it seems like that all around Australia, actually. People are saying, well, where are these jobs? Why aren't they paying enough so I can, you know, live or survive? And I suspect a number of them are part-time jobs. But what about you as a person? What's your background?
You know, I'm happily married to a policeman, and I'm a teacher of 26 years experience before I joined the Senate. I'm an Indigenous woman from the Mananjali and Jagera clans.
Where are they? Where's the Mananjali and the Jagera clans?
Mananjali, the Beaudesert Scenic Rim clan, and the Jagera is basically the Ipswich area down towards the south of the Brisbane River. So, you know, I've got a family connection for both those very large clans there in Queensland. But, you know, my family name, my mum's a Bonner. And Neville Bonner is my great uncle, and his name is quite significant in the Aboriginal communities in Queensland. And, you know, it's an honour and a privilege to sort of follow in his footsteps.
Well, frankly, his name is quite significant around all of Australia and very well regarded. Made a huge contribution, and very few people in this place are remembered after they go. And he's one of the few. So that's a great pedigree to have.
Oh, thank you. Well, let's hope I can fill his big shoes once again.
Now, the most important question I'm going to ask, do you like cats or dogs?
Oh, that's a tough one, but, you know, I'm a cat person.
I know you are. a cat person. I'm the only dog lover in my party, it appears.
Look, I'm an animal lover. I have St. Francis of Assisi at my front door, the patron saint of animals. So I never turn away a stray animal. I'm a bit of a sucker that way.
So. Well, for the benefit of the listeners, I knew that Jo liked cats because she always used to talk about them when we were in the Senate together, among the many other things that we did. But it was always a load of fun, and I would try to convince her of the merits of dogs as being man's best friend, but I failed miserably on that account. So, Jo, it's great to have you as part of the team, honestly. You've teamed up with Lyle Shelton and Kate Horan, who is, you know, they're dynamos, they are values committed, they're principled, and that's what politics needs. So I want to say thank you for putting your hand up. Thank you for sharing a bit of your story with us today, and I hope and pray you're going to have an amazing future in the Senate, and I'm going to be here to be part of it.
Oh, thanks, Corey. And I think the things you just talked about, Queensland needs.
Amen to that.
Amen.
All right, cheers. See you.
Do you think you've got what it takes? Become a member. Be part of the Conservative Revolution at conservatives.org.au.
Every week, I seemingly get another glimpse into a parallel universe. It's a universe where government makes up rules and regulations, and then ordinary, normal people suspend any critical thinking, any common sense, and take these suggestions, these rules or these regulations, and apply them in the most ridiculous way. This week, a couple of very good friends of mine were coming around for dinner. They were bringing their daughter, who is 18 years of age. She doesn't look 18, like a lot of 18-year-old girls, if she's not dressed up. She doesn't look 18, but nonetheless, these two parents took their adult child to a vintage Sellers store in South Australia, which is owned by Wesfarmers, and they wanted to buy a couple of bottles of wine to take to my place for dinner. Now, that's a good guest as far as I'm concerned, but the person at the vintage Sellers stores said, "I'm sorry, we need ID from your daughter." Now, the mother is a very attractive young woman, but she's in her mid-40s, and she said, "Look, I'm buying this. They're for me. If you need my ID, I'll be flattered." But they said, "No, I can't sell it to you because you're accompanied by someone who looks under 25. And this lady said, "Well, hang on, I've got four kids. I've got a 12-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 14-year-old. Would you serve me if I had them?" Oh, they wouldn't answer that question. But extraordinarily, they refused to serve the mother because she had her daughter with her and the daughter didn't have any identification. To which, quite rightly so, I think, she got a little upset. and said, look, this is just stupid. I'm pursuing my rights as an individual to purchase a legal product which I'm able to buy because of my age. And it doesn't matter whether my daughter is 26 or 17 or 3 months. I'm entitled to purchase it. No budging. They wouldn't let it happen. So the mother and daughter left the store. The father stayed and said, well, what a coincidence. I'd like to buy these two bottles of wine as well. Can I please have them? To which the store attendant said, no, I'm terribly sorry. The CCTV will indicate that you're trying to breach the law. Now, this is where it gets a bit tricky. I'm not sure there is a law that says you cannot sell alcohol to a parent that is accompanied by their child who doesn't produce ID. What are they suggesting? That we suddenly leave our children in the car? That if you've got a toddler or an infant baby, that you should leave it in the car because you want to go in and purchase something from a liquor store? This is bordering on the absurd. This is, I don't know whether it's the law, but this is perhaps the most stupid application of preventative measures that I've ever heard. Now, I know it doesn't take place only at vintage cellars in South Australia. Apparently, this is a new sort of code of conduct for liquor stores, that if a parent or clearly an adult is accompanied by someone who may look under 25, then they're required to provide identification too. It's an extraordinary incursion of the nanny state. I think we should be deeply concerned about it. And, you know, I'll be writing to the owner of Vintage Cellars, which is Wesfarmers. I know the top brass there. I'll be writing to them to say, this is a really, really dumb initiative. And if it is the law, I'll be writing to the people who have made another dumb law. And hopefully we can get it turned over, because in the end, we cannot legislate for the failings of the tiny minority. We've got to protect our freedoms, protect our defences, and have people apply some common sense to everyday circumstances just like this. Because if we don't stand up for the right of individuals to be able to purchase a legal product such as liquor whilst being accompanied by their own children or a minor of any description, you're basically accusing everyone of being a lawbreaker. And how long then before Woolworths says, I'm sorry, you can't purchase cigarettes because you've got your children with you? Or how long before the pharmacist says, I'm sorry, I can't fulfill that prescription because you're accompanied by someone who doesn't have identification or whose name doesn't appear on the script? You might just give it to them. This is madness. That's the only way I can describe it. And yet it was the lived experience by some guests that came to my house. Time to restore some common sense into everyday life. And that's why you're listening to the Weekly Dose of Common Sense podcast.
You're listening to your Weekly Dose of Common Sense with Corey Bernardi.
This is your Weekly Dose of Common Sense podcast. I'm Corey Bernardi. Thanks for staying with us. One of the questions I get asked, perhaps more than any other, written or email or in person, as the founder of a political party and seeking people to vote for the Australian Conservatives, is where are your preferences going? And people get a bit cranky when you say, I can't tell you that, because ultimately the preferencing decision is up to individuals. And might I say, if you are blanketly giving preferences to one political party or the other, then really you end up just being a shill for that political party. Now, I've never hidden the fact that I would prefer a Liberal or coalition government with a very conservative spine, if I can put it like that, in the Senate, than I would a Labor government, which is going to be controlled by the Greens. Now, that's because I've spent my entire adult life and much of my youth as a Liberal. I believe in smaller government. I believe in lower taxes. I believe in free enterprise and families. And, you know, I just don't think that government has the answers to our questions. So people say, shouldn't you just then preference the Liberal Party? Well, it might sound fantastic, except for the fact that there are plenty of Conservatives who don't want to preference the Liberal Party. There are plenty of Liberals who are not Conservative at all. And in fact, quite the contrary. There are many Liberals who would be happier with elements of Greens Party policy or Labor Party policy, and that's what the problem is with the coalition today. And it's why I left and started the Australian Conservatives. So when people ask us this, they go, they don't accept the fact that they can direct their own preferences themselves. They also don't understand that we are all compelled in the lower house to vote for everyone in order of preference. So you can vote for Australian Conservatives number one, but you're going to have to eventually choose between Labor and Liberal. You can go through all the minor parties you like, but ultimately your vote in 99 out of 100 cases is going to go to the Liberal or Labor Party. That is a lock. And so you're going to have to vote. You're going to have to choose for which one of the two stooges, Bill Shorten or Malcolm Turnbull, you want to be Prime Minister and to form government. You can do that safely by voting for the Australian Conservatives and then choosing whomever else you like. But the real game for minor parties, the real game for the Australian Conservatives is in the Senate. This is where, if we are successful, if we're successful at the next election getting additional senators elected that are principled, that are going to advocate for the things that you and I share, that are going to advocate for lower taxes and fostering free enterprise and making stronger families and rebuilding civil society and shrinking the role of government whilst empowering all of us to be responsible for our own decisions, then if whomever form government, I should say, whomever form government will need to deal with us to improve their legislation, to apply some principle to it rather than just base political prospects. And that's, you know, the reason I started this party. In the end, we've come to the conclusion that there's about 30% of people, maybe more, who are voting for minor parties in the Senate. And they've been voting for Clive Palmers and Pauline Hansons and Nick Xenophons and Darren Hinches and Jackie Lambies all over the shop. And yet there's never been a principled Conservative Party for them to vote for. Now, I know some listeners will object to that and say, no, that's not true. You know, there's this party or that party or the other. But the challenge is to assess how they approach the policy positions that are coming about. Because the policy positions that come about, and whether they're seeking to exploit them to get a marginal gain somewhere else, or whether they're trying to improve them on behalf of the Australian people. Now, improving something doesn't mean you add a bill to it that's going to increase borrowings. Now, we've seen that with the education reforms. We've seen it with media reforms. That's, in fact, all they try to do. Not all they try to do, but it's what they try to do in so many instances. And it's left to voices like mine who only want to make sure that we are looking at the long-term consequences of the short-term decision-making. And that's why, following our recent assessment of the Australian Conservatives, our focus is going to be about getting more senators elected. Because that is where we're going to make the most difference. If we can pick up a couple of additional senators at this next election, and then if we can do that again in the following federal election, you know, in 5 or 6 years' time, we will have 6 or 7, maybe even 8 senators. That's enough to shape the legislative outcome, no matter who forms government. And so the message needs to be dealt very, very clearly. You can choose whomever you want to form government, but you need to choose someone who will hold them to account, who will apply principle, who will be consistent and predictable and stable, and who will represent the values that we hold so dear. And when you think about it like that, and you're casting your Senate ballot, the only choice, the only credible choice, is the Australian Conservatives. We have some wonderful people that are our lead Senate candidates right around the country. We've announced four of them so far. We've got Lyle Shelton in Queensland, Sophie York in New South Wales, Kevin Bailey in Victoria, Ricky Lambert in South Australia, and we'll be announcing Western Australia and Tasmania in weeks to come. This is the team that can deliver better results. And so when people ask where our preferences go, ultimately that's up to you. But your number one choice needs to be Australian Conservatives.
Keep listening. This is your weekly dose of common sense with Corey Bernardi.
It's time for your say, and haven't we got a bumper crop of emails again this week? Tim writes, he says, I've enjoyed the weekly dose of common sense podcast. It inspired me to become a financial member of Australian Conservatives. Thank you, Tim. It's heartening listening to a podcast at a time when I've felt so disenfranchised. I have voted Liberal all my life, but I'm afraid they've lost me in the Senate. Thank you for all your hard work, and I look forward to helping out. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. Together, we're all going to achieve more. That is, one of those team-building analogies, but it's true. If we get together, if Conservatives get stronger and vocalise and mobilise, we will make a massive difference. Graham comes in and says, I enjoy your weekly podcast, but I think you're only preaching to the converted, not the silent majority who are looking for an alternative. You need to be more active and create a name, just like Pauline did. Her problem was she has no backroom. You have more policies and backup. You need to capture the silent minority. You need to fight fire with fire, as the softly, softly approach will not work. Well, Graham, thank you. People tell me I've got to actually do more, be more like Pauline. Well, I don't want to be. I'm going to continue to put forward policies that are reasonable, that are sensible. I'm going to put them in a measured way because we need some responsibility in politics. It's easy to grab a headline saying something that you can't substantiate or you're not building a foundation for the future. And, you know, when people say you should do more, I ask them what more they'd like me to do. I'm on TV, I'm on radio, I'm the only person, politician with a podcast who writes a weekly blog for 10 years that goes to hundreds of thousands of people. I do morning news and evening news. I work at it all day. And a lot of the people who complain and say, oh, we don't hear enough from you, are people that are tuning in after the event. The sorts of people who write to me and go, why didn't you do more about redefining marriage? I'm not sure what more I could have done. Now, Graham, I'd love to, you know, be on the front page every day doing something positive, highlighting the agenda of the Conservatives. I do my best at it. Unfortunately, I can't always do it. But together, we all can. Why don't you write to your local newspaper? Why don't you ring up your talkback? Why don't you promote the Australian Conservatives at every opportunity? We've got brochures you can distribute and letterbox. I am but one man with a megaphone and a mouthpiece and a podcast, and I'm doing my best. Joanna says, my husband and I are both members. It's good we're getting members, actually, listening in. It's fantastic. And I wonder if you have a transcript of Corey's podcast. We don't have time to sit around and listen to podcasts when we could read the content in seconds if it was available. Can you have a transcript? I assume he doesn't speak off the cuff, so there should be notes available. Joanna, a couple of things. Yes, I do speak off the cuff. That's why there are so many errors in the podcast every week. But you know what? To have a transcript of about 30 minutes would take you more to read it than to listen to it. If you want to listen to a podcast, put it on 2x speed and you can still understand it and you'll get through it in half the time. But unfortunately, I don't have time to create a transcript of everything that I say. I'm sure you could probably get some audio translating software, maybe, or something like that. But I'm sorry I can't help you. Beverly says, like your new style of presentation, shorter and topical. Beverly, Thank you. I didn't realise that I'd changed it, but nonetheless. Now, there's a whole batch again on Islam and migration, people wondering what I've got to say about it. Well, I'd suggest you go back and read on my blogs, listen to the podcast where we've discussed these things at length. Craig says he was watching an SBS program on, and since then been doing some research on the Muslim community. They've been rorting the Australian welfare system for years, continue to do so, so on and so on and so on. Craig, I've covered this before again and again and again. It is not all the Muslim community. It is elements of it. Sure, there may be an increased number of people that are taking advantage of our social welfare system that are within that community. We're wise to be concerned about it, but it's not all. David says, I support everything you say. I'm 56, an ex-Green, ex-Labor voter, both here and in the UK, and was a member of the MUA. Then I started a business and woke up. Welcome to the club, David. Good work. And thank you for your support of the Australian Conservatives. But David says he's having reservations in relation to continuing because my capitulation in relation to Islamic immigration, we will not maintain all that we hold dear if we continue to let these people in. Has what happened in Germany, Sweden, the UK not appeared on your radar? Well, David, again, you cannot ban an entire group of people from being in your country if you want to have some credibility and some principles. If you want to ban Muslims from migrating to Australia, what's going to stop the next group of people saying, well, let's ban Jews or let's ban Catholics or let's ban anyone of any religion at all? It's just the wrong approach. Now, the other point I'd make is what if you allow a Christian in from the UK, for example, and they come here and they decide to convert to Islam and become a Muslim. People do that, you know, not many, but they do. Should we then kick them out? We need to have rigorous screening to stop the bludgers, the people who want to undermine our way of life and our system of being. We've got to have zero tolerance. We've got to insist on for parallel legal systems. We've got to insist upon integration and assimilation. That's what made Australia great. And may I say, you want to go back to the earliest form of immigration. We had the Afghan cameleers out here. They didn't cause too many problems for us. So something is different. But I cannot, with any credibility, say I'm going to ban an entire identity group, if you can, because that is to literally suspend rational judgment in favour of reactionary politics. So I'm sorry if that upsets you, mate. But David, I've got to do what I've got to do. I'm considering becoming a member of the Conservative Party, says Andrew, but I'm confused. You say you recognise the living generations as steward of the riches, both natural and cultural, material and spiritual, but under policies you list a desire to move into nuclear energy and a stepping away from the Paris Climate Accord. Yes, I do. They're not conflicting elements as you suggest, Andrew. Nuclear energy actually doesn't have any carbon dioxide emissions. You know, they're the things that the people who support the Paris Climate Accord think are terrible and that are destroying the planet. I don't believe that. I think that's nonsensical and it is not supported by any rigorous examination of science. But if you want to do something about this supposed climate change caused by carbon dioxide and you don't talk about nuclear energy, then you are a goose. Steve says he's not going to vote for either of the major parties, and he says he saw a Facebook post today. The person making the comment said it had been on a political agenda for a substantial period, the Islamification of Australia. I covered it, Steve, but, you know, mate, in the end, there are people who want to undermine and change our way of life, and they're aided and abetted by some people in politics. Very sad. Father Anthony says, thank you for speaking up about the Ramsey bequest. So thank you, Father. I appreciate that. Brian says, do you care about the innocent shareholders of the Commonwealth Bank that have been fined $700 million? Will the person who committed the crimes go unpunished? Well, Brian, of course I care about shareholders, but if you don't want to be a shareholder because you don't like the conduct of the bank, you can sell your shares and get out of it. Ultimately, a corporate entity like the Commonwealth Bank is responsible for the activities and actions of those that are empowered within their organisation. So, yes, it is a couple of months, or think about 4 weeks' worth of pay or profit for the Commonwealth Bank. But the whole point is, if you don't like it, get out, vote them out, use your voice as a shareholder. And Troy says, Corey, can you discuss preferences? People do not understand them. Troy, I've tried to do that today in answer to your request, so thank you very much. That's all we've got time for in your say this week. Keep the emails coming, Corey@CoreyBernardi.com.
This is your weekly dose of common sense with Corey Bernardi.
Well, listeners, that's your weekly dose of common sense podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Please share it with family and friends. Get them to subscribe. Put it online because we need more people getting a weekly dose of common sense. And keep your comments coming through to me. You can send me an email or, better still, record a voice memo and send it through as an attachment to Corey@CoreyBernardi.com, and we'll see if we can get your voice onto the Common Sense podcast. See you next week.
Enjoying your weekly dose of common sense with Corey Bernardi? You need to get on board with the Australian Conservatives. Go to conservatives.org.au and join the party.